This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Amin ya rabbil alamin. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ah, warina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinaba. Oh Allah, show us truth as truth and give us the ability to follow it, and show us falsehood as falsehood and give us the ability to avoid it. Amin ya rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So inshallah, I'd like to share with you all our weekly motivation. I have a hadith. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, good job. You know, I taught a class this weekend in Allen and they did not pick up. Every time I said Prophet, I waited for them and they wouldn't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من خرج في طلب العلم كان في سبيل الله حتى يرجع. Whoever goes out seeking knowledge is in the path of Allah until they return. So inshallah, you are right now in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this from us, and may He subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with us and enter us all into Jannah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. So honestly, I know you guys asked for the open topic this week, and I had something else in mind. But something happened on Friday. On Friday, I went to a sister's gathering and I met with one of my friends, and she didn't have her baby. My friend is always carrying her baby. And at this gathering, it was like a sister's gathering, she didn't have her baby. And another sister who had her baby with her said to her, "Where's your baby?" And she said, "Oh, you know, the invitation said ladies only, no children, so I left her at home with her father." And then the other woman with the baby is like, "Oh my God, your husband watches her? How did you? And I told her instantly, once the other sister walked away, I was like, recite the adhkar, recite the ruqya, and I told her what to recite. So I didn't really think anything of it. And then a few days later, I saw my friend. And she's like, "Dunya, you're not going to believe what happened." And I was like, "What happened?" She's like, "You remember that night at the sisters' gathering?" I was like, "Yes." She's like, "I got home and my husband broke two of his toes. My baby fell and her whole mouth was bleeding. And subhanAllah." I was like, "Did you not read the adhkar?" She's like, "Dunya, you told me to read the adhkar, right?" I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "Once I started, another sister stopped me. I started talking to her. I forgot." So you might be thinking, "Sister Dunya, what does this have to do with what you're talking about today? What is this?" And today, inshallah, I want to talk about evil eye, Ayn. And you might be thinking, "Sister Dunya, but no, maybe that's a coincidence." Maybe it is, and maybe it's not. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was a Sahabi named Sahl. And Sahl was a very good-looking Sahabi. And his son is narrating this hadith, says that my father went to go take a bath and he removed his clothing, his upper clothing. And there was another Sahabi who saw him. And the Sahabi said to him, "I have never seen anything like what I've seen today. Your skin is so beautiful, it's more beautiful than the skin of a virgin." Of a woman, like a beautiful girl. And at that moment, Sahil got sick. One riwaya says he couldn't move. Another riwaya said he just got sick. And so they didn't know what to do. So they went and they called the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw what he saw and heard what happened, they explained to him what happened. He said, "Why does one of you kill his brother? Why did you not say, 'May Allah bless you'? Indeed, the evil eye is true." Another hadith, Al-Aynu Haqq. The Prophet ﷺ said, "The effects and the influence of the evil eye is in fact true." The evil eye is true. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Al-aynu haqq, walau kana shay'un sabiqal qadar, sabaqathu al-ayn And the influence of the evil eye is true, is a fact. And if anything would precede destiny, it would be the influence of the evil eye. The influence of the evil eye. So imagine the influence of the evil eye can precede our destiny. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all these things, subhanAllah. So when we tend to think and talk about evil eye, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Did someone give me evil eye, right?
Intention evil.
Well, before we talk about if someone gave us evil eye or how to protect ourselves from evil eye, I want us to think about something that a lot of us don't think about, unfortunately. We have to think about how we might or may unintentionally give someone else evil eye. It's very easy to look at, oh, this person might give me evil eye. But what are we doing to protect other people from ourselves? Intentionally or unintentionally. And alhamdulillah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he brought down this perfect religion and he taught us everything. So he taught us how to protect ourselves from giving others evil eye and how to protect ourselves from other people giving us evil eye. So inshallah, right now I'm going to talk about how to protect ourselves from giving other people evil eye. Now in that hadith, the hadith of Sahel, the one that we just talked about, what did the Prophet ﷺ say to that sahabi who said to him, oh wow, your skin is so beautiful. He said, why don't you say, may Allah bless you? In another hadith, إِذَا رَأَ أَحَدَكُم مِّنْ أَخِيهِ مَا يُعْجِبُهُ فَلْيَدْعُ لَهُ بِالْبَرَكَةِ. If someone sees something that he likes in his brother, let him pray that Allah blesses him. MashaAllah, tabarakallah, Allahumma barik. Blessings, Allahumma barik. May Allah bless you. Barakallahu lah, barakallahu laki, barakallahu lahuma. And look at this beautiful dua that the Prophet ﷺ taught us to say to newlyweds. Usually it's very easy for newlyweds to get ayn. Why?
Because they
want it. Because they're the most beautiful, right? The most beautiful you're going to be is what? On the day of your wedding, right? The most beautiful background, the most beautiful everything. What did the Prophet ﷺ teach us to say to a newlyweds? He said to say, Barakallahu lak, wa barak alayk, wa jama'a baynakuma fi khayr. May Allah bless you, bless this marriage for you, and may He be blessed upon you, and may He combine both of you in good. Right? So make dua for blessings. When you see something that someone has that is beautiful, say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her. MashaAllah, may Allah bless her home. It's such a beautiful home. Even when you see it in your children, people can give their children ayn. It's not intentional. It can be unintentional. Do you think this sahabi wanted the other sahabi to get hurt? No, they loved each other, right? The Sahaba gave each other half of their wealth. It's unintentional. So when we see something that we like in someone, even our spouse, our parents, our children, you know, our siblings, even ourselves, when you see something in yourself that you like, say, MashaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put blessings in it for me. Allahumma barik li. Allahumma barik lah. Allahumma barik lah. Make dua that Allah blesses it. Okay? So with evil eye, there's two extremes. There's either the people who say, psh, I don't believe in that, that's not true. And then there's the Muslims who think everything is ayn. Everything is evil eye. So if their child didn't study for the exam and they went and they took it and they failed, oh, she gave me nada. She came over last week, right? You guys are laughing because it's true. Right? Or if you were driving and you weren't paying attention because you're checking your text message, you're driving this brand new car that your husband bought you and you're checking your text message and you crash it, what do you say? Sister so-and-so, when I got this car, I saw the way she looked at it. No. Okay? If you did something Don't blame Ayn, okay? So if you're not paying attention and you're texting and you crash your car, most likely it wasn't Ayn, it was probably because you were texting, right? And so let's not be in the both extremes. Let's be in the middle. Where we believe in Ayn, yes, because the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Ayn haq. But at the same time, not everything is Ayn. And at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ taught us preventative measures. We're taught how to protect ourselves from Ayn. So how do we protect ourselves? Is it by wearing those blue stones or those eyes? Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. A lot of Muslims, they don't know that that is shirk. Have you ever been to someone's house and they have this blue eye? Subhanallah. From Turkey usually. Subhanallah, may Allah protect us, right? Or, someone gave you that eye? Throw it in the garbage. Don't use it, inshallah. So, or when you know someone's baby is born, I don't know if they do this in Indo-Pak countries, but in Arab countries, they put a blue stone, or they put something black on them, or they make a black mark. They take something and they make some kind of mark on the baby's face the first time they bring out the baby, right, at the Aqiqah or something. Look at the Prophet ﷺ, what he said. He said, the Sahabi said that once they were on a journey, and the Prophet ﷺ said, he said, no necklace of strings should be left on the necks of camels, and no necklace kept unbroken. So he noticed that some people would put necklaces around their camels, because before Islam, in Jahiliya, they thought that those necklaces would remove Ayn from their beautiful camel. So if you had a really beautiful camel, you put something around its neck so that it doesn't get nazar. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no necklace should be on any of them. You should break them and take them off. And so Imam Malik said that, to my mind, this practice of wearing necklaces around the necks of camels or animals was because of the fact that they wanted to save them from the influence of evil eye. The Prophet ﷺ ordered the Sahaba to remove them. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ told a Sahabi, he's like, you're going to live long time after me. Teach the people this. He said, if any of you ties up his beard or twists it or hangs an amulet, something like one of those beads, or puts on themselves something that's disgusting like the animal feces or the animal bones, where's the animal bones? Then Muhammad ﷺ has nothing to do with that person. On the Day of Judgment, the Prophet ﷺ will say, I have nothing to do with you, I don't know who you are. These are practices of Jahiliyyah. And unfortunately, we still have them. It's very unfortunate because we don't have this knowledge, right? These things do not protect us. So how should we protect ourselves? First and foremost, we need to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can protect us. Nothing can benefit or harm us except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So seeking other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes no sense. Why? Number one, we're making shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we think that something else can benefit or harm us other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're making shirk. Number two, that means that we don't trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? We don't believe in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first and foremost, we have to trust that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can protect us. Not any type of rock, not any type of dirt, not any type of eye, not any type of black string. None of these things can protect us. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can protect us. Number two, we have to fortify ourselves, protect ourselves by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us exactly what to say to protect ourselves. And inshallah, you don't have to write these things down. Alhamdulillah, I made for you guys these papers. It's on my website. You can print it, download it, print it. And I want, you know what I did? I actually stuck this on my door from the inside of my house. So before I leave my house, I see it and I remember to recite it. And I put another one in my car to remind me, because I'll tell you why. Because there's certain dhikrs that the Prophet said, if you say it while you're in an area, nothing can prevent, nothing can harm you. That's why I told my friend, say this now. Because when you say it, it'll protect you until you leave. So, fortify yourself, protect yourself by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what are the specific dhikrs that the Prophet ﷺ taught us? Listen to this. The Prophet ﷺ used to seek protection against the evil of the jinn and the evil eyes by reciting Surah Al-Falaq and Surah An-Nas. Now, in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites Kul Huwallahu Ahad, Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, and Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas 3 times in the morning, nothing will harm them and it will suffice them and protect them until the evening. And if you say it in the evening, nothing will harm you and it will protect you and suffice you until the morning against everything. Kul Huwallahu Ahad, Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas, after Fajr, no matter what, don't leave your prayer rug until you recite it 3 times. After Asr, the same thing. 3 times. InshaAllah. Now there's another dua that we talked about. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'u al-'alim. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites this 3 times in the morning and the evening, nothing will harm them. Absolutely nothing. And do we not believe in the Prophet ﷺ? Do we not believe la yantiqu 'an al-hawa? He does not speak from his desires, that everything he says is wahyun yuha. Is wahy from Allah, revelation revealed to him. So when he tells us this, we have to truly believe it. We have to believe that inshallah, when we recite these things, we're protected. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever says this, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i as-sami' al-'alim, he will not suffer sudden affliction until morning. And if he says it in the morning, he will not suffer sudden affliction until the evening. Now, a sahabi, or I believe it was a tabi'i, he was the son of Uthman. He actually narrated this hadith. So the son of Uthman radiallahu anhu narrated this hadith. And one day he became paralyzed. And so the people who heard this hadith from him came to him and they said to him, like, how are you paralyzed? You taught us this hadith. You taught us this dua. And you know what he said? He said, I swear by Allah, I did not tell a lie about my father Uthman, and I swear by Allah that Uthman did not tell a lie about the Prophet ﷺ, but the day when I was afflicted, I became angry and I didn't say it. I forgot to say it. SubhanAllah. So don't forget to say it. Don't forget to teach your children, inshallah, to say it, and your spouse, and your parents, and your family, and your friends, everyone. This is a powerful dua. In another hadith, whoever says, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق, nothing will harm them until they leave that place. So if you say it right now, nothing will harm you until you leave. If you say it when you go into a sister's party, or when you go to a wedding, or when you have some kind of something for your child when he finishes his hifz or whatever, when you say it, nothing will harm you until you leave. Another hadith, same dua, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ said, and he said, I got stung by a scorpion last night. And the Prophet ﷺ said, had you said in the evening, أَعُوذُ بِكْلِمَاتِ لَهَ تَمَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ, that scorpion would not have harmed you. So imagine, this dua protects you not only from humans and their evil eye, but from even animals and insects. SubhanAllah. أَعُوذُ بِكْلِمَاتِ لَهَ تَمَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ. Look at the meaning. I seek refuge with the perfect words of Allah from the evil of everything that was created. Everything. So the evil of the food, if there's some kind of poison in the food, the evil of an animal. I don't know if you guys saw in the news today a man here in Plano was attacked by a bobcat, right? SubhanAllah. Or the evil of, you know, bugs. They're saying that a lot of these mosquitoes, they carry diseases, right? So the Prophet ﷺ is saying that if you say this, you'll be protected not only from the evil eyes of people, but you'll be protected from the insects and from the animals. You'll be protected from everything, inshallah. SubhanAllah. Now this is a very important dua. This is a dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to say on Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. And we know the status of Hasan and Husayn in the Prophet's heart. He loved them so much. When he would be making the khutbah and he'd see them walking and running and they come up to him, he'd carry them, right? In salah, when he was in sujood and they would climb on his back, he would just stay in sujood for them. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to put them on his back and he used to go around and he used to say that, you know, they're the best people who rode something. He'd act like a camel for them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loved them so much. Look what he used to say. He used to say, your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam used to say this on Ismail and Ishaq. Now think about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim was Khalilullah. He was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's close friend, right? Ibrahim alayhi salam lived most of his life not having a child. And in his old age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Ishaq and Ismail. And to protect them from the people, because imagine when you're very old and you have a child, it's easy for people to what? To give them nazar, right? Yes. It's like, how are you having a child? You're so old in age. And they were both what? Prophets. So you're a prophet and you're having children that are prophets. So look at what he used to say. He used to say, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ وَهَامَّ وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّ. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with your perfect words from every devil and from the poisonous pests and from every evil and harmful and envious eye. Look at this beautiful, encompassing dua. This is a dua that you should say yourself. This is a dua that your spouse should say, that you should say upon your children. Put your hand on them and say it. Recite it before you take them to school. Recite it before you put them to bed. This is a dua you should teach them to recite on themselves. You should always be reciting this dua, basically. Always. Because it's so encompassing, right? You're asking Allah with His perfect words to protect you, to protect your family, to protect your children from every type of evil, every type of envy, right? A lot of times, especially in this day and age, you know, I have social media. So I'm not saying social media is bad and I'm not going to give some kind of fatwa. But I want you to imagine this. MashaAllah, you have beautiful children and you have a house and you have a car and you put a picture. And subhanAllah, there's a person out there that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not bless with a child. They've been married for 20 years. And they make dua for a child every day. And they're not an evil person. No. And then they see that picture and something happens in their heart. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be intentional. It doesn't have to be evil. You're not an evil person if you give someone ayn. How easy is it now to get ayn? So easy, right? Because we're constantly posting stuff on the internet. So it's not just people who we know are looking at it. It's people who we have no idea. It could be, for God's sake, a child that's starving on the other side of the world and they see your fancy feast and subhanAllah, something happens in their heart. Do we know? No, we don't. And alhamdulillah, we don't. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us that ability because probably we wouldn't be able to look at each other anymore. If I knew that you gave me ayn, or if you knew that I gave you ayn, or if I looked at you in this jealousy and this envy. Right? So we don't know. So protect ourselves. Let's not be like Ibn Uthman, who that one day he got angry and he forgot. Let's not forget. The same way that if we have a medicine, a pill that we take every morning, which a lot of us do, right? lot of us have something, either cholesterol medicine or thyroid medicine that we take on a daily basis. Do we forget it? We don't. So let's not forget this. Let's make it a habit, right? Takes about 21 to 30 days to make or break a habit. Every day after Fajr, say it. Takes what? 30 seconds. And every day after Asr, say it. Add it to your tasbih. You know how we have tasbih after Salah? Add it to it, right? The kulz and these three du'as. Every single morning and every single evening. Inshallah, teach this to your children, to your friends, to your family members. Don't forget to say it for yourself. So what do we do if we suspect that we may have been afflicted? I'm going to tell you something that I saw with my own eyes. This is not a story that I heard from someone. There was a sister who she was at the masjid and her hijab was a little loose. And someone came up to her and said, "Wow, you have such a pretty neck." She went home and she found a black ball on her neck. I saw it with my own eyes. Sticking out of her neck, a black ball. She instantly knew it was Ayn. She recited on herself and it fell off. SubhanAllah. Now you might be thinking, "Sister Dunya, yeah, you saw it, but that doesn't make sense." I want you to listen to this hadith that's narrated by Salama radiallahu anhu, our mother, the Prophet ﷺ's wife. She said that the Prophet ﷺ came home and he saw this little girl that had a black spot on her face. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "She is under the effect of evil eye, so treat her with ruqya." This actually happened at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, where a little girl grew a little black thing on her face. And what happened? The Prophet ﷺ said, "She's under the effect of evil eye, so recite the ruqya on her." So if we believe that we're under the effect of evil eye, we should recite ruqya on ourselves. Once Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, are you ill? Are you sick?" And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Yes." And then Jibreel alayhi salam said this to him, "Bismillahi urqik min kulli shay'in yu'dhik wa min sharri kulli nafsin aw 'aynin hasidin, Allah yashfik, bismillah urqik." This is a dua of ruqya that you should say, inshallah, if you suspect that one of your children or yourselves has evil eye. This is what Jibreel alayhi salam said to the Prophet ﷺ and recited upon the Prophet ﷺ. "In the name of Allah, I exorcise you from everything and safeguard you from every evil that may harm you and from the eye of the jealous one. May Allah cure you. I invoke the name of Allah for you." Insha'Allah, if you suspect that, recite. Recite this dhikr, but don't wait. Do the preventative measures first, recite your adhkar, and then if you suspect something, recite this dua. Also, we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that this Qur'an is a healing, is a cure. Qur'an in itself. Every day we should be reciting a portion of the Qur'an. Right? In Surah Fussilat, Surah number 41, Ayah number 45, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Say it is for those who believe a guidance and a healing, a cure." The Qur'an is a cure. And in Surah Al-Isra, Surah number 17, Ayah number 82, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we have sent down the Qur'an, that which is a healing and a blessing for the believers. Believe that the Qur'an is a healing. Surah Al-Fatiha 7 times. That's a healing. Do you guys know the story? One of the Sahaba, they were traveling. And they went to a village and they asked for food or something and they weren't given. And then the leader of the village got bit by a scorpion. And so they asked, does anyone know how to do something to heal him? And so he went and he recited Surah Al-Fatiha 7 times and blew, and the man was healed. And so when he went back to the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, "Ya Rasulullah, I did this. Was this okay?" And the Prophet smiled. He's like, how did you know that Surah Al-Fatiha is a Shafi'ah?
Yeah,
so seven times Surah Al-Fatiha. When something's hurting you, seven times Surah Al-Fatiha and blow. Right? Surah Al-Baqarah protects from the shayateen. Recite Surah Al-Baqarah in your home. Right? And there's ayat of ruqya, you can find them online. There's different types of ruqya. There's ruqya if you believe there's evil eye. There's ruqya from sihr. There's ruqya from all different things. From maybe if you were sick, there's a type of ruqya that you can recite. So just know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave us alone. He gave us everything that we need. But what's that saying? An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure, right? So prevention is what we can do, inshallah, right now. Recite these du'as, these adhkar. Let it be a habit, inshallah, in your home where you recite them. And like I said, inshallah, if you go on the website, there's under the du'as for protection, you can download it and print it. Print copies, give it to your friends, your family. Let them recite it. Teach your children these adhkar and tell them that this is a protection. You know, on another note, this is not about evil eye, but I heard a story that I believe it was Sheikh Waleed Bisyuni from Al Maghrib Institute and Sheikh Yasir Qadi. They were reading ruqya on someone because someone was possessed. And they heard the sound of like a whip. And one of the brothers with them screamed. And they saw a mark of the whip on his back. And so when they were doing this ruqya, they started talking to the jinn. And they're like, why is it that you didn't hurt us? Why did you only hurt him? And the jinn told him, you said something that's protecting you. I can't reach you. But he didn't say it. So these du'as, these adhkar are protection. They truly are. You should truly feel like you're protected. And you should teach your children to feel that way, that nothing can harm you. You said this today. Because we have to truly believe it. Right? أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنَّ عَبْدِي بِي Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am as my servant thinks of me, perceives me to be. If you truly believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you by reciting these adhkar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely protect you. Inshallah, have yaqeen, have trust and full faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all evils. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the evils of the jealousy and the evil eye and the evils of sihr and the evils of the shaitan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from ever giving anyone any type of evil or harming anyone in any way, shape or form. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the same way that He gathered us here in this blessed day, in His blessed house, to gather us all in the highest level of Jannah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that each and every one of us is going through something that only He knows. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve all of our stress and all of our sorrows and make all of our hardships easy and give us the patience and give us the knowledge and the wisdom to deal with them. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Jazakumullahu khayran. And inshaAllah, I will see you guys next time. Until then, astawdi'ukumullah alladhi la tudi'u wada'i'ahu. I place you in the trust of Allah, in whose trust nothing is ever lost. And inshaAllah, if you'd like, I will make a short video with the explanation of this dua. It's one of my favorite duas, inshallah, to add to these duas of protection. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.